someone who's clean with a dirty mind. Downtown, all around, take me on a Jenny ride.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 68. Another fine time to sit and listen to the crazy antics of Double Bubble with Girk and Keek. I'm Girk.
And I'm Keek. So, no, I was just telling Girk a story, and then we decided to start recording because nothing says let's bitch about our significant others than recording it and airing it for all to hear. No, so you were telling me a story, and you were saying, what does your dude think about that? And I said, well, I would know what he thought about it if I actually got through the story. Because what's happened now is... I know that I'm a rambler. I know I can ramble on. I know all of my faults. I can count all 10,000... Oh, pussy's here.
Yes.
10,962 of them. Listen, don't talk to me in that tone of voice. Your cat has a mouth on him.
I know.
God. Curses like a trucker. So I know all of my faults. Some of them I'm working on. Some of them I'm just embracing. And some of them I just don't give a shit. But... one of them I know is that I can ramble on. Oh, that's hilarious. We're Skyping. Pussy just got up in your lap, and now all I see is kitty cat starfish in my face. Kitty starfish, like, up close. That was, like, 3D up close in my face.
Oh. And he keeps stepping up.
He basically just cursed me out and then shoved his ass in my face.
He's such a prick.
He's such a prick.
He really is.
So okay. I know that I ramble on, and I know that it's super annoying. And the irony is not lost on me that I did a Klondike commercial once about a woman who is rambling on in the background, and her husband actually comments on something she's saying, and she gets so shocked. The look on her face is like, what? And then the ad comes in, and it's, you know, give that guy a Klondike bar, because he actually listened to his wife who was rambling on and talks
right.
about nothing.
How nice of him.
Yeah, so apparently that's me, because I tell my dude stuff all the time, and he's like, what? He doesn't remember any of it. And so now the joke is, you don't listen to me when I talk. But he really doesn't. So now what I do, as a little test, I'll be telling him something, and... when I know that he's not listening, because I can tell, I just stop talking. Mid-sentence. I don't even do the, oh, my hair's on fire, the house is burning down. I don't even do that. I just stop talking. And sadly, about 60% of the time, he doesn't notice.
Oh, no. No. Well.
And the other 40%, he gets mad, because he'll be like, I'm listening. Yes. Yes, I understand you're listening now, and I'm just being a bitch, but the last 10 times when I stopped talking mid-sentence, you didn't notice. No, you didn't do that. I did. I did, though. He doesn't believe me that I do that. So last night when I was telling him the story that you were asking me about, I started telling him the story like, I really want to get his opinion. What do you think?
Right.
And I launched into the story, and I was kind of getting into it, and I went, oh, okay. And I just walked away, and he didn't notice. So I will do it again. When I have his full undivided attention, I will do it again. But so come on, weigh in. What do you think? Did you ever have that problem where you could tell that your dude was not listening to you?
Yeah, when we were fighting.
Wow, that doesn't count. I'm just
he
talking
would,
about those
yeah, if we
pieces.
Were, well, no, you know what it was? When we would be having a discussion about something.
Yeah.
Like the fight was already over, but like in the reconciliation phase, if you will, of like explaining why this was important or how you feel about
it,
blah, blah, blah.
I'm not even talking about that stuff. I'm not even, I have hiccups now. Bless America. I'm talking about mundane, daily bullshit, just kind of rambling, talking about your day, mundane shit, where...
I don't think so. I'm a very commanding presence.
Shut up! You're such a bitch. And that prick cat of yours that when you say that, he looked up and gave me a look like,
Yeah.
He just looked right into the camera.
Did
Whatever.
He?
Yes.
Yes. He doesn't usually like loving. It's really kind of amazing. He's not much of a lover, so I'm kind of surprised by his wanting to be on my lap during the show.
You're like CeeLo right now.
But my mom is, my stepdad is coming with her dog, their dog. And I'm house, you know what, when I'm dog sitting for the weekend, I have to tell you, and I don't know, this is weird, but so am I.
Yeah.
Some people be like, why do you always take the dog? You know, he does some activities, which I like that he does. You know, he's got some hobbies and sometimes it'll be like a weekend trip or whatnot.
Yeah.
But there's something about having the dog. I love the dog. He's a cool dog to begin with. But there's something about having the dog that makes me feel close to my mom.
Of course.
And I've had such a crappy week.
Yeah.
That.
You need the dog there.
Yeah.
And it's nice that your prick of a cat is being nice to you right now. You need it.
Well, I think he's only doing it now because as soon as the dog gets here, he's going to be like, fuck you again.
You've had a week. Do you want to share your week?
Well, I know we spoke about my vagina and the UTI.
Yes.
It's more serious than that. So.
What is it?
It could be a kidney infection.
God bless it. Well, how are your kidneys infected? What are you doing to your body that your kidneys are infected?
I am shoving up very thin shish kebab straws with pieces of shit on the end of them into my ureter all the way up into my kidney.
That's not advised.
Yeah, I guess not.
My degree from Google. That sucks. So now you have to do a whole another round of meds again?
Yeah, and I don't really know. There was blood in my sample. But no bacteria, which is what a UTI would cause. So, but I think the original antibiotic probably knocked out that trace amount of bacteria. But it's weird when you have different symptoms, they could be all separate or they could be the same thing. And last week, Thursday, I had a really deep massage and the guy like wrenched my back. And so where I feel a little bruised in my kidneys could actually be from the massage. I'm taking oregano oil supplements and I'm belching up. I feel like I'm eating a New York piece of pizza.
What? Oregano oil supplements? What the hell does that do? Makes you feel like a spicy meatball.
It helps with inflammation and the processing of garlic supplement.
Garlic needs help processing?
Well, it's just when you add stuff to it, you know. Oh. Listen, garlic and oregano oil taste great together. There you go. I don't know.
Just eat a pizza.
For some reason, I know, that might be dinner tonight. For some reason, I'm having a little oregano uptake. That's not the point. The point is.
Listen, I'm having issues where I can burp like a freaking trucker lately. And it's so pretty. And I don't understand what's happening to me. I don't know if it's just an age thing. Is this what happened? We get older and now all of a sudden we.
Yeah, you know, I don't buy into the age thing.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
So suffice to say, now it's just a matter of like weeding this out. But you know what sucks is when I don't like my doctor's husband. I think he's a boob. He's inept. He's got no personality.
Why do you give a shit about your doctor's husband?
Because he runs the front office.
Oh, that's a nice twist. I like it.
He was a lawyer. I think he got disbarred or I don't know what his deal is, but he's just a nincompoop. And he won't let you speak to her. You have to make an appointment to see her. So that's a big drawback. However, the caveat is.
Listen, everybody fucking does that now because they all just want that. Nobody, you know, all these insurance companies or all these doctors are saying that they're getting the shaft, which, oh yeah, poor you, that they're getting the shaft because they're not making enough money, because to make money and get patients, they need to be in the insurance company's networks. But to be in the networks, the insurance companies don't want to pay them enough money. So now everybody wants you to come in for that office visit and collect that,
well, because
that
copay. Yeah, they
copay,
do.
Copay. They want their office visit money.
They do, because also their malpractice insurance is so high.
Yeah.
In any case, I'm pissed because I had the sample taken on Monday. On Tuesday afternoon, I get a call from, you know, Mr. Drip. And he's like, yeah, doc wants to see ya. Your urine specimen came back. I'm like, obviously it wasn't good. Well, yeah, you know what? It just says return on here. So I don't know. We're closed tomorrow. So we're closed Friday. So Thursday, Saturday, I said, so this is a test that I took that is coming back with bad results. And you're just being so lackadaisical about what day I should come. I go, is there any way that I can come today? Nope. We're heading out. Can you tell me what
That's
was
lovely.
Wrong?
That's lovely. Lackadaisical, by the way, was one of my son's spelling words last week.
Yes. So I said, can you tell me what the deal is? Well, there's some blood in your urine. Okay, now I'm freaking. Why, you ask? Why? Mm-hmm. Why do you think?
I don't know. I'm not the doctor. You'll have to come in and meet with the doctor.
No, why do you think that I was like, that triggers me? Blood in my urine.
Because you're worried that you might have cancer?
Because my mom died.
Because your mom had bladder cancer?
Yeah.
That's when you pull that out and go, listen, my mom died from bladder cancer. You don't just tell me I have blood in my urine and then say, we'll see you next week.
Right.
Did you tell him that? Did you tell him that?
No, because I was already triggered. I was in, oh my God, oh my God. And he didn't say only a trace amount, only this, but I knew it couldn't have been very much because I couldn't see any blood to the naked eye. But
I know,
anyway.
And then I'm such a bitch because you texted me, like, call me. And because I obviously am an expert on all things bladder infection, and I completely spaced it, and I've been so fucking stressed. My brain is so fried. I'm sorry I didn't call you back. I would have made you feel better immediately and said, yes, very common with bladder infections to have blood in
your
urine.
Yeah, but instead.
Very common. Instead, I
ignored
you.
You let your maid of honor hang in the wind.
I let just twist in the wind, and I just focused on my own selfish needs. You know what my son asked me the other day? What's the worst thing anybody's ever said to you or called you?
Wow.
And I was like, God, that's a good one. I couldn't really think of it. I was like, I don't know, selfish, insensitive. like, let me rattle off all of my negative qualities for you or what other people have thought my negative qualities are. But the sadder thing is, I'm like, am I so wrapped up in myself that I can't remember any of the negative shit that people have called me? I said, at the end of the day, I was like, listen, first of all, I clearly, A, don't care, and B, try not to, or pretend, or would hope not to care. But also, I try not to dwell on that shit. I just, you know, people call me stuff, or if you're in the midst of a fight, you apologize later. Or if you're not in the midst of a fight, and, you know, you just kind of move on and try not to think about it.
My ex-husband called me a cunt a couple times.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That felt so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could actually, like, rattle that off. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that. Because it sticks out a little bit.
Yeah. That's some
the
class
person
A
who's supposed name. To love you most in your life calls you a cunt.
That's some class A name calling right there.
Yeah.
Well, because you know what they say. The thing about it is that I try to stay away from name calling. The worst thing I've ever called a significant other in a fight was an asshole. I never, you know, that, which is still not great because that's, I think, rule number one is no name calling because
no
you can't,
name calling.
When you make up, you can't take that shit back.
Nope. You've said it.
I think I've been called, the worst I think I've been called in a fight is, you know, selfish or a bitch or, but, and I think the worst I've said is probably asshole, but I never really, any of the people that I dated or married or, you know, we never really fought that much.
I don't like fighting like that. I don't like dirty fighting anyway. It accomplishes nothing.
No, okay. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. It makes you feel better in the moment though. That's the hard side. It's like eating chocolate or eating sugar. I've been having such a crappy couple of weeks or couple of months actually, but those last like couple of weeks have been so shitty that I really have the justification and the pull to just eat shit, eat sugar and junk and be like, yeah, but I'm sad right now.
I'm making myself feel better.
This will make me feel better. So yeah, that pull to like want to eat, you know, chocolate is strong.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of been going on, but I think I'm on the mend. So, you know, I'll find out in a week. But still, just the crazy doctor stuff where it's like, really?
You got a lot of meds on board, so you better be feeling good.
Yeah. And then I learned some stuff this week, so this will be in our show and tell segment.
Okay. Show and tell. There, I just made that up for you.
Yeah. So there was some stuff going on where some information was given to somebody or gotten by that person over a period of time, and I couldn't figure out how they were getting it. Like, I wasn't sure how they were getting it.
Right.
And it was, you know, it involved someone who had been in my home or, you know, whatever.
Or there was a leak somewhere in your inner circle.
Yeah, like, but I didn't know, and it was... And,
like Jennifer Aniston, where the celebrities will, like, leak some information that's not true to certain people, And then if it shows up in the tabloids, they know who it was who said it, because they only told one person, like, one version of the story and one person a different version of the story.
That's interesting. That's kind of interesting. No, I'll have to try that one out, though. But I don't, you know, I don't really have people in my life that are like, you know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or those kind of women that just fight. I don't understand that. But suffice to say, there was like some information and I'm just like, where is this coming from? And the common denominator was my house. And I was feeling, you know, that you know,
there's a breach.
Personal phone conversations, or like I couldn't figure out, and it was unnerving me to the point of I wasn't sleeping because I didn't know if I was safe to have conversations, private conversations in my own home. And that's
it's hard to know. There's so many things that can be tapped and bugged in computers. You know, they always say, now granted, obviously most of our friends wouldn't have this kind of access, but you know, your camera can be on your phone, on your laptop, can be easily hacked into.
You can get stuff off of Amazon for $50, $100 to set up. I mean, okay, so suffice to say, I was pretty freaked out yesterday, and I procured the services. Like my big word?
Yeah, it's good.
I haven't used big words in a while, have I?
No.
I have. Okay.
Well, I dumbed it down for me. Thank you so much.
Welcome. I procured the services of a security specialty company.
And what does one do to find a security specialty company?
You Google company surveillance companies that will sweep your house for bugs, basically.
Seriously? They seriously have people that will do that?
Yes.
Is that a part of a service of a guy who would also be a private investigator?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, because those guys can't make that much money. They're just sitting around their office, like, waiting for people to call them to sweep their house for bugs.
Really? It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but how many people are, like, sitting, you know, how many people are calling them up to say, hey, come sweep my house for bugs? And what exactly does one do to sweep for a bug? Because I know they do it on TV, but it's got to be different than that.
Well, let me tell you, because this is what I think, this is what will make this an interesting show, because they're like, okay, well, we can come on Saturday. I'm like, can anyone come today? Because I need to sleep. And they're like, yeah. And I got a discount, but the original fee was $650.
Holy shit.
$650 to have a person in this specialty come and sweep your home.
Fuck, man.
So what I thought was interesting and kind of cool is the proprietor who...
Where's the breakdown of that, though? Do you get a breakdown where it's like, usually they go, well, here's the, you know, like if you go to get your car fixed, they say, here's the labor, and the labor's always really super fucking expensive. It took us an hour and a half to repair whatever, so this is the labor per hour for 2 hours or 2.5 hours, and here's the part, which was $5.95, and the bill's, you know, $400.
Yeah, no.
So, but do you do the breakdown, and you go, okay, but how long were they there to sweep your house for bugs?
Well, and we were chatting, too, because we ended up having a nice rapport.
But without the chatting, how long did it take them?
Oh,
an hour?
2 hours.
2 hours. So for 2 hours, there's no equipment. I mean, they have their equipment, but there's no, like, parts. It's just labor. There's no parts like there would be
at
an auto dealership.
I mean, but there's equipment.
Right, but they didn't buy the equipment to come to your house the way you get charged for parts at the auto dealership. So their time is worth $325 an hour? That's how much it costs to hire a private investigator? $325 an hour?
That's just for that. I imagine it's got to be more for other things. But, Keek, I charge anywhere between $80 and $125 for a massage for an hour.
Yeah, but not $325. $80 or $100 is one thing, but it's
in
general, contractor is only $55 an hour. I mean, the auto mechanic.
Listen, I think it's a lucrative business because there's not that many people that do it, but they have really specialized equipment.
Yeah, but they didn't. It's not like they spent lots of money and got massive and, you know, multiple degrees. You don't have to have much of a degree or really have studied much to be a private investigator. You have to have some street smarts, but
I don't know.
That's some heavy overhead is all I'm saying.
Listen, here's what I know.
Okay.
Is that I investigated. I looked up the gentleman who owned the company. He was very well regarded and very well known. And actually, when I called him originally to inquire about his services, he said, please make sure that you Google any company that you're looking at, because you don't want some guy, because you could go to Radio Shack and get what's called an RF device, radio frequency device, for like $75. And you can walk through your house and it might detect, I mean, it should detect radio frequencies that are being emitted from cameras or sound devices. But I don't have that experience where I would know really what I was looking for. So I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't feel confident doing that. Right? So you're going to pay for experience and people who know what they're doing.
I think, yes. And I'm sure that they were super reputable, but I definitely think private investigators can charge more money because they're preying on people's insecurities. Because if you're going to a private investigator, you're in a heightened state, no matter what
you're hiring them
because you want to find out if your man is cheating on you, if you're hiring them because you need to find out if your fucking, you know, deadbeat ex-husband who, or ex-wife who is on disability, is trying to do whatever, you know, I mean, people are usually in a heightened state so they can prove something, or they're trying to get proof of some kind.
But also, so we'll get into it, but there's other aspects that I didn't think of for sweeping, you know, like when President Obama or a dignitary comes through, they'll sweep for bugs for the hotel rooms and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And corporations, which we'll get to, because this is, you know, we got to discussing stuff. So when I made the appointment, the gentleman said that he could get somewhere there at 4:30. And I said, you know, is it one of your associates? And he said, yeah, it's this guy, Dennis, and he's 28 years experience. He'll show you his credentials. And he will come in as if he's going to measure for carpeting in your home. And please do not speak to him until he turns on the white noise. I'm like, okay. So Dennis gets here. And he comes in with a bag and a big rolly suitcase. And he just starts to set up and he turns
the wall. So fancy. You're like, I really don't need any of that. But let's do it because it's really cool.
What?
The whole pretending like he's coming in to measure for carpeting and not talking until you're like, it's really, it's not like, I'm not really worried about being like, you know, picked off by some sniper. I really, you don't need all the cloak and dagger, but do it anyway, because if I'm paying that much money, I want it. This is awesome.
Right. Yeah, it's like the e-ticket for Disneyland. I mean, it's part of the experience.
Exactly, it's part of the experience.
But it suffice to say that if my house was being bugged, then it wouldn't matter if the person who was listening knew that the jig was up.
No, really, at that point, it really isn't going to matter all that much. But again, do it anyway. And I'm going to wear a trench coat.
Okay, good.
And some sunglasses.
So by this point, I pretty much want to vomit. So he came in.
Yeah.
And he set the white noise. So he kind of just started setting his stuff up. And he asked me the basis of my concern. And I literally just said, you know, I think that I'm about 80% certain that there's not something here, but there's just been some information that has kind of leaked out over a period of time. And I'm concerned that my home is not the origin of that information. And I need to just be certain, whatever. But I said, I've been wanting to throw up for like the last hour because I'm really nervous. And he asked me where my electrical box was. And he straps this thing around him like a little, you know, Geiger counter box. And he's
like,
got this.
Like Ghostbusters?
Yeah. And he's got this.
They hate this. I'm so excited for the female Ghostbusters. I can't even tell you. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
I could recite the entire movie.
Oh, good. So they, he takes this antenna thing. Now, you know, I've never been privy to this. And maybe all of our 20 listeners haven't been privy to this kind of thing before either. But he told me that the device he was wearing was, you know, of the caliber that they use to clear rooms for dignitaries and like President Obama, whatnot, that they sweep the rooms. And he's got this antenna and he says that, you know, it will, like a Geiger counter, it will light up or beep up if it's emitting radio signal. So I go downstairs with him and I'm thinking that I'm going to walk with him through the entire house. But I realized that I am going, like, I'm so having so much anxiety.
Well, you're like right behind him.
Yeah.
I am hey, what you doing? Hey, what you doing now?
Hey,
what is that thing doing?
This, like,
is that green light on for a reason? What does that light mean? What is you?
Right.
Okay. No, I'm just going to, I'll be real quiet. What are you doing now, though?
he was waving the wand around the cable stuff. And I'm like, you know, some of that's old, some of this is. And I look at him and I go, I think that it's probably best for me if I go and sit upstairs and let you do this, because I may just pass out from sheer adrenaline and anxiety as you are doing what you're doing. So I came upstairs and kind of sat in my chair and did my very best to be quiet. But we started to talk when he came upstairs. And the areas where I thought like information would be most prevalent if someone was bugging my house was, he actually got through then, so there was nothing there. So I was starting to lighten up a bit. So he's telling,
even if the bug or device or whatever was out of juice and it was dead and there was no battery life left, they'd still be able to pick it up?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So he said that, you know, so I learned, so I'll tell you some stories that he told me, and then I'll tell you some things I learned. So here's what I learned. A camera can really, the eye of it can be as small as a screw head.
Sure.
And there are some cameras that can go into like outlets and it will look like an outlet, because the outlet itself then is the power supply. It's the power source, right?
That's smart thinking. Because then I don't have to change the battery. But.
Right. Otherwise, any camera is going to need some sort of power supply. Unless whoever is bugging you has hooked into your Wi-Fi, your home Wi-Fi network, which is already powered. So that would be the way to get around, like seeing something plugged into an outlet. So that was kind of interesting, because that meant then that I was pretty certain that there were no cameras, which is great. I just, at this point, didn't know how far technology had come, you know, for what it, you know, like, look at the you know, batteries in your phone. They can run for a long time kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then he went on to tell me that, you know, with the exception of fire alarms, like a fire alarm, if it's wired, has a battery source where someone could put a listening device or a camera in there and have it go perpetually. Otherwise, the person's going to need access to your house on a fairly regular basis, because a 9-volt battery will only run for 3 or 4 days. And he showed me a microphone, a very small microphone that was attached to a 9-volt battery. And the receiver can be within about 3 miles. So unless you are powered to a power supply, in which case you're getting the more significant power, then you could be remotely someplace else, right? But odds are, unless you've got it, you would probably really have to pay someone to wire the house to get that caliber of listening. The shit you're getting off of Amazon or whatnot, or, you know, spyware or whatever, isn't going to do the job. So I was feeling kind of relieved, because I live by myself. I have people come here, but there's no steady stream of the same people, if you will. However, I probably, and I'm not going to say this on the show, but I probably do some things that make my home less safe that I will be addressing, where maybe when I wasn't looking, someone could sneak in.
So when you leave, you flip the "we're open, we're closed" sign, and you just leave the "we're open" sign, so everyone knows that, like, you leave,
right.
You leave all the windows open in the summer, right, for people just to climb right in.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So, okay, so while he's sweeping the house and he's doing his deal, he proceeds to tell me about some cases. I'm like, you know, you get to the "you must meet all kinds." He goes, "I meet people like you who are concerned for whatever reason about some breach of security, and I meet the crazies, the people who I hear so..."
Oh, like the tinfoil helmets?
Yes. So he's like, "Or I meet the crazies." And he was telling me that his daughter's 35 and that she said, "Dad, when you retire, we need to write a book," because what he has seen and heard. So he proceeds to tell me a story about one woman who he went to her house. She said that she was... she was seeing things in her house.
Right.
And she was, you know, getting concerned about that. And as he's walking through the house, he proceeds to see holes that are about the size of a fist, like on various walls.
Okay.
Like arrows.
Like she punched a hole?
Yeah. With arrows on either side of the hole pointing to the hole. And he kind of, of course, getting a little creeped out. He goes, what's this? And she goes, "That's where the little people live. They live in the holes in the wall." And he's like, okay, great. So I think this is the same story. And I think he was in Texas. So he starts like setting up his stuff to like do a surveillance kind of thing. And she says, you know, you make sure you check this room. And he goes into the room and there's all kinds of like upside down crosses, upside down Christmas trees, and all this kind of stuff. And he's going, you know, now he's trying to decide how he's going to get out of here. Thankfully, she had prepaid. He's in the room trying to pack his stuff up because he's just going to go. And he hears her scream. She had taken one of her metal crosses and burned it into her arm while he was there.
Oh, God.
And he says, okay, so this is not appropriate behavior. And I'm going to go. But I'm going to call and have someone help you. And she's like, okay, great, because they've helped me before. I've been locked up a couple times. So he gets people like that.
Oh, God.
Then he was telling me about a case where I think it was in Houston, where there were two women. One was 60, one was 80. The 60-year-old was the daughter, and she had dated a police officer. And they were seeing red pin lights in the house. So they felt like someone was like trying to sniper fire them, and it was scaring them.
What the hell was that?
Mo decided to hiss at Ollie, my mom's dog's here.
Oh.
And it was a hiss with a little bit of a cough, and it was like,
Aww.
He's such an old man.
I was just going to say, your cat's so old, he's losing. He's like, I'm going to get... Hang on one second. One minute. Okay. I'm going to kill you. Let me take a knee real quick.
Can I have a sip of water? I just
need a sip of water real quick, and then I'm going to kill you.
And I'm going to be nasty. So these women are seeing these lights darting around the wall of their home.
Right.
And they're concerned, so they call this guy to do surveillance. And she says, you know, I dated a police officer.
She was currently dating the police officer?
She'd broken up. She had dated a police officer.
Oh.
So he comes and there, sure enough, he's there and he's seeing the lights on the wall, dancing around on the wall. Come to find out that it was the son of this police officer who were using laser lights to scare these women.
Why?
Because they were mad that they broke up or they didn't like her or whatever. They had hired someone to scare this woman.
The son had?
Yeah.
How old was the son?
He didn't say. I'm guessing in his 20s or whatever, right?
So the son, that's disturbing behavior.
Right?
The son was so upset that that woman broke up with his dad that he hired someone to make it look like she was being killed or that she was like being targeted.
And to make her like crazy to move or whatever, right?
God, that's...
I know.
That's fucked up. You're like, I'm pretty sure there's something seriously wrong with your son.
Yeah. Then he goes to Hawaii and it's a woman who owns a house that has another house like a half a mile away or a couple blocks away. And that house is empty. And she says that whenever she goes to the house, the empty house, she sees things and she's concerned.
Like what kind of things?
Like images
ghost stuff?
Yeah, like images or...
Yeah, but what would a private investigator be able to do? He's not a ghost hunter.
I don't know. I'm telling you a story.
Okay. I got the burps.
Yeah. So he goes and the lady says when he gets there, she says, go live in the house while you're here. And he's like, it didn't have air conditioning in Hawaii. It was really hot, but I stayed there for a week. She had not told her son-in-law and daughter...
That she hired a private investigator to stay there for a week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And sure enough, because he's there, he sees that the son-in-law is using, like, a slide projector to put ghostly images, like, on the wall so that when she goes there, she sees them.
Why?
Because he wanted her to think she was losing her mind.
Who does shit like that?
And go move into a retirement home so that he could have the house.
That is beyond awful.
I said, you must see just like the worst in people. And he goes, I do see a lot of really bad things. He said there was a couple, they were in their 30s, and she had a little baby, and she was a petite, you know, nice figured girl. And she called him to investigate, to sweep her house, because her mother-in-law was starting to say inappropriate things like, you're really flexible, or what a nice figure you have.
To who? To her? To the daughter?
To the daughter-in-law. Okay.
Yeah, but why is that inappropriate for her to say? Those sound like compliments.
How flexible you are?
Well, it's odd, but...
So I'm just saying that those were... I think there were some more inappropriate comments.
Okay.
That this made this woman suspicious of, like, where this is coming from. So she calls Dennis, and he goes over there, and he finds all kinds of cameras in her bedroom. All kinds of cameras that had been taking pictures of her. And they found that these pictures were being uploaded to a porn site.
Wait. The daughter-in-law was living in the house? Yes. Whose bedroom had the cameras in it? So the mother-in-law put cameras in the daughter-in-law's bedroom? And videotaped her son and her daughter-in-law having sex?
Well... So he says to me that while he was there, within 15 minutes, the mother-in-law shows up and says, what are you doing here? Who are you? And he says, well, I've been hired by this woman to, sweep the house. 15 minutes later, the husband shows up. What are you doing here?
The son?
Yeah.
So the son was in on it?
Yes.
So the son and the mother-in-law conspired together.
Yes.
And filmed... He filmed himself and his wife having sex without his wife knowing about it.
Just pictures of her naked.
Oh, so it wasn't, he wasn't in on it. He wasn't in any of the photos. He just was pimping out his wife.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So he comes and the woman is holding the baby. The husband comes in and he starts pushing her. So now Dennis, who's a private investigator, is not going to stand by and watch this happen. So he gets in to break that up, and the mother-in-law starts beating Dennis with a broom.
So they were like the mother and son were like the fucking porn kings of whatever city that was.
And then needless to say, the police were called, and I think the daughter-in-law ended up pressing charges, and they said to him, do you want to press charges? And he's like, no, there's enough. But I guess the guy was a purveyor of medical marijuana and during their divorce had said that he had no money.
But he had tons of money if he was selling all that shit on the internet.
Right. So they found a storage unit where he had stored stuff where he wasn't supposed to. So he lost his like ability to do whatever he was doing and ended up having to pay her $10,000 a month in child support. So the guy got his
$10,000 a month. That's how much money he was making?
That's what he's paying in child support.
Child support is usually a percentage of the income, so they must have found a whole boatload of money.
Yep, so apparently this company did such a good job that she hired him back during their divorce.
I saw a story once, I think it was on Dateline, and I'm probably going to butcher the story, but it was kind of a similar thing where it was appalling because the woman found out that her husband, and imagine, this is your husband, the person who you love and trust the most in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she found out, she just felt like there was something off. She didn't feel right. There was something physically wrong with her and she couldn't really put her finger on it. And there was weird kind of stuff happening and she just wasn't really sure. And when I don't know how she ended up finding out, I think the husband messed up or something, but the end of the story basically was she ended up finding out that her husband had been drugging her, had been slowly drugging her and doing things to her while she was out.
Oh my God.
And
like sexually stuff?
Yeah. Violating her. And, and I think, and again, this is the part where I might butcher it, but it kind of, when you said that what the husband and the mother-in-law were doing, it kind of rang some bells. I think that it was a similar situation. He was not only violating her while she was asleep, but he was also, I think, taking pictures and
yeah, and that's illegal. Video it's a little, that's a little illegal.
Yeah.
So anyway, so needless to say, these stories were just, I mean, they were fascinating. But I, at the end of it, I'm going to do my impression of Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist. I would like to pronounce that this house is clean.
So how do you think the person that was getting the information is getting the information?
I don't know, but now I know it wasn't for me. That's really what I needed to, you know, it wasn't, and the thing is that the first thing was my concern that this particular information that I wasn't sure if this information was getting out was being recorded. But more importantly, there's a feeling that you feel, it's almost like being raped or molested, where you feel violated.
Violated. The word I was going to use is violated, because like there have been instances where I'm in my home and I'm very comfortable in my home, and I might leave doors open or windows open. Not in the, when I lived in the houses, but when I lived in, and I don't know why, but when I lived in my apartment, I was in a triplex, and my triplex faced the other triplex, right? We shared a driveway, and the two triplexes faced each other and went the length of the driveway. And it just felt very communal, and it had a very safe feeling about it because everybody was around all the time. So
right.
I would leave windows open. I left windows open because it was fucking hot and I didn't have air conditioning. So I would leave windows open. I don't necessarily think I left doors unlocked, but honestly, I mean, what the hell is the difference? Somebody could just pop a screen off and get in a window as easily as they could open the front door. I might as well have left the doors open. And I thought nothing of it. But then there was one, you know, there were a few instances. I lived in that place for like 11 years and you get super comfortable. And then there was one instance where the woman who lived in the older woman who lived next door to me, she felt so stupid because she got conned in the middle of the day and there were people home. There, you know, some of us were home when it happened and nobody, you know, and still she got conned in the middle of the day by a couple, you know, a handful of 20 something year old women who conned her and did the whole, our car broke down, can we use your phone? In the era of cell phones, that's why she felt so stupid. And they got into her house and they tricked her. And it's stuff like that that you go, oh, wait. And then all of a sudden, it didn't even happen to me, but all of a sudden, I have that feeling of feeling not so safe in my house. And all of a sudden, that gets taken away from you. And now you don't feel so safe. And now you feel like, oh, shit, I need to be more careful. And, you know, and then slowly that feeling kind of comes back. But I'm not sure which way is better. You know, is it better for us to live more on guard? Or is it better for us to live more like we're not going to be scared? I feel like there's a happy medium. I don't need to be scared, but I lock my shit up, man. I mean, you lock the windows, the doors are locked all the time. And there's stuff that you can get that a girlfriend of mine years ago, her dad, she moved into this place and it wasn't in the greatest neighborhood and her dad was worried about it. So he, you know, of course, in the mail the next week comes this gigantic care package of, what's the company that does all of the security stuff? It was
like ADT or something.
No, not like a company, but like a company that makes stuff like First Com
or whatever.
Yeah. And all of a sudden there was like a care package of every sort of First Com product ever. Like it had, you know, there's door jam things where you can put under the door. There's little alarm things. There's little, you know, that if you can't afford obviously to have ADT, my last two houses, I think, had the ADT stuff installed, but I never had the service turned on because that shit is expensive.
Yeah.
And even with it, a friend of mine, even with it, he lives in a super fancy neighborhood, super rich. You wouldn't think anybody would hit up those. All the houses have gates and security and whatever. They got popped in the middle of the day? No, they were out of town. They got popped when they were out of town, and the cameras and the security and all of that, none of it meant a thing. They didn't take anything because they couldn't find anything, but they still, you know, it's still scary. They got scared, and then the next thing you know, she's buying a gun and doing target practice, and they're, you know, upping all the security around the house. I'm like, okay, I understand that makes you feel more safe, but do you honestly think these people who are clearly professionals, having not found anything in your house, are going to come back to your house? They because didn't find anything.
Right. Yeah, and I choose to live in a place of not fear. I, again, for my, I mean, whatever, but I don't, I'm not super careful about locking doors and windows all the time. If I'm home, they're not locked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't plan on starting now locking them. But if I'll run out for a 5-minute errand, I may just leave the door open, literally like a 5-minute errand. So I've got to.
Yeah, but you shouldn't. I mean, that's not a matter of feeling safe. That's just a matter of like.
If someone wants to get in your house, they're going to get in your house.
Not necessarily. I mean, if they want to get into your house, yeah, they will. But you don't need to leave a neon sign on the door either with everything unlocked and making it look like. Because, listen, there's a difference between someone having to put a little energy into getting into the house and someone and the neighbor seeing someone just waltz right in the front door like they're a friend coming over. Like, if there's even that remote chance that a neighbor might see someone trying to jimmy or having to walk around to the back of the house to jimmy, somebody might go, well, that's weird, and do something about it. It's plus the fact that you have to remember, I did the same thing, but I have a dude who was a paramedic for 7 years and saw a lot of fucked up shit. Like, the story he told us was funny and everything, but there are some really fucked up stories where, I don't know if you read James Patterson, but there were some James Patterson type stories of stuff that he and his partners had to roll up on and work that is twisted, that I would have thought only could have happened in a James Patterson novel. That stuff happens in real life. And so he's way more cautious. He goes around and does the check every night. He makes sure everything's locked, everything's then. And I, you know, and I never really, obviously I, you know, I tried to make sure stuff was locked, but I never really paid as much attention as I do now after hearing some of those stories. Nobody ever thinks that stuff is going to happen to you. And even if it's just, you know, trying to prevent a break-in, yeah, I think it makes a difference to have everyone know that your house is locked.
Yeah, and I get it. So I think I'll just end up having to get, you know, you can get those cameras online now that they buzz your phone if there's a sensor, you know, like if they see stuff. So you don't have to pay a security service in the same way that you did.
No,
so
there's ones too that you put over the doorbell. And when somebody rings the doorbell, because a lot of times robbers will ring the doorbell like UPS or FedEx to see if anyone's home, because that's what happened to my friend. I don't think they were UPS, but they checked the mailbox. And when they realized that there was mail in the mailbox, they knew they were out of town. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's ones you can put on the doorbell. So if someone rings the doorbell, it'll ring your phone. So you can answer and you can be like, hello, who is it?
Right.
No, thanks. I'm just got out of the shower. Come back later.
Right. There's all kinds of things. There's a camera. He gave me a couple names, some cameras, but there's like stuff that you can put in your house that, you know, along the lines of nanny cam, where it's like a little black box.
Yeah.
And it you know, becomes activated. But one of the things that he looked for when he was here was a tape recorder. And I don't even think about that anymore because you don't think about it. But there's a company from Russia that makes a tape recorder that is on standby for up to 21 days.
Wow.
So only what's voice activated. So it was really an expensive education, but I have such peace of mind.
What would people hear? I talk to myself all the time when I'm alone. People would hear.
Think about it.
I mean, but not, I don't say anything like important or personal, but I'm constantly like talking to myself. I would sound like a crazy person.
Okay. But it's not like I'm not harboring any like, I don't know. If I have a conversation with you about something, I don't want other people to hear it. That's why it's called private.
Yes.
So it wasn't just about the situation per se that I was kind of like, where's this information coming from?
That's just general feeling of violation. It
just came down to if my house was being surveilled, what else would they hear? And I'm sorry, I don't have a sexual partner right now, but I'm not opposed to taking care of myself every now and again. If someone was recording that, that's my business.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine if someone had a camera or audioing you and dude and then all of a sudden just uploaded or blackmailed you with it? Or so I know you like it up the ass or whatever it is your business is.
Right.
That you're like, maybe your mom, you wouldn't really want her to know, not because you're embarrassed about your behavior, but it's none of anyone else's business. It was that kind of thing that made me go ahead and do this. It was just like,
absolutely. You need to have that. You need to have that feeling of safety. You need to take that power back.
And it was, that was what it was.
Yeah. On that PSA, note.
Yeah. So
I gotta go.
Feeling safe, feeling much safer today. I'm actually tired though. So I'm going to sleep this weekend, I hope. Okay, so this wasn't like comedy based this week, but it was more something you should know. Like
one to grow on. PSA. Yeah.
Right. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening. And I hope you learned something new today. And we will see you back for episode 69.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do something special. We'll have to do something special.
I'll fuck my cat. Okay, you guys, love you. See you later.
Love you. Bye.
Someone who's clean with a dirty mind.